All right, take your Bible if you would and turn to Luke chapter number 2, the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. While you're finding your place there, immediately following our service, we'll allow a couple of minutes to say goodbye to folks and to gather your stuff, and then we're going to have a brief meeting. Those in our staff, we're going to have a brief meeting just to go over our financial report before we release it to the church. So just immediately following the service over in the annex building, our staff will meet there for about 3 to 5 minutes just to go over our finance record before we release it to the church for the month. Okay? All right, Luke chapter number 2. Give you an opportunity to stand to your feet if you would. Luke chapter number 2. Well, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 8. And we'll read down through verse number 20. Pastor David preached a message using some of these scripture, and it kind of probed in my mind to think of some things. And as I began to expand on them, I felt that God would have me to bring some of the thoughts that he gave me to you tonight. And so in Luke chapter 2, we'll begin our reading in verse number 8. This is on. Okay. And they're in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the way that you have preserved your word from generation to generation, even unto this generation and forever. Thy word is forever settled in heaven, and we thank you for the permanency of your word. We thank you for the inspiration of your word, the truth of your word, and we thank you the way that you have preserved your word, that as we are here tonight, we can with complete confidence know that we have a copy of the Word of God. And for that, we are grateful. We thank you for the Word that has worked in our hearts through these years. And we pray you would continue through your Word and the ministry of your Holy Spirit to work in our lives and in our hearts, that we would be molded by your Word to be the Christian that we ought to be. Lord, I pray now that you would speak to us from your word, even tonight. Help us to give our full attention to your word in this hour. Teach us some things, remind us of some things that would help us to be drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated. Thank you for following along in the reading of the word. I was thinking about something as we were having our little season of prayer. There's just some things that churches have gotten away from that I'm glad that we're still a part of it. We have to guard, or we too can get away from it. this service tonight is called prayer meeting. You can go to a lot of prayer meetings and they don't even pray. And so don't get frustrated if there's a lot of praying going on. It's just good. It's just good to be involved in praying. It's good to go to a church where there's preaching. It's good to go to a church where there's singing. Amen. It's good to go to a church where there's people speaking to one another and conversing with one another and communicating with one another and fellowshipping with one another. A lot of churches, unfortunately, have moved away from these things. And I pray to God that He would help us to stay the course in these things. So that's not all that we do, but I do think that we ought to keep the main thing the main thing. Amen. And so I'm grateful for that. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we say, well, you know, I kind of get lost in all the, you know, the prayer requests and this and that. And I understand that. Sometimes you hear of the prayer requests, they can be overwhelming. There's just so much that we need to be praying for. And I believe this. I believe that you just listen to the request, and maybe you record them in a book that you have. And as God lays them upon your heart, you pray about those matters. And God will bring them to your heart. You can't pray for everyone at one time. But I will tell you this, and you know this, God will bring it to your heart, people that you need to be praying for and things that you need to be praying about. And so be diligent to do that. Let's turn our attention to the scripture here. This is a familiar, very familiar passage of scripture. I want to share a thought with you before I get into the message. Here's a thought that I have about these shepherds that I think would be a good life lesson for all of us. There's something that the shepherds did that I admire about them. They heard a message. It was unbelievable. I mean, it was the message that they heard. The messengers, even. You know, they heard a message from angels. And it just had to absolutely stun them. When they looked up and there was an angel, and then there was just this gathering of what the Bible says a heavenly host, which I take to be angels. There was this heavenly host, and they gave them this message. And then the Bible says they returned to heaven, and then they had a decision to make. Okay, the shepherds had a decision to make. And here's a good life lesson. When something you hear just don't quite make sense or is maybe unbelievable, just look into it yourself. I like the fact that the shepherds did that. They said, let us go check this out ourselves. Now, I'm paraphrasing. Verse 15, look at it. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, instead of just taking, and I'm just paraphrasing, instead of just saying, well, you know, I don't believe that, and acting and with that thought, they didn't do that, or they didn't just take what they had heard and said, well, let's just go spread the news. And here's where we mess up a lot of times, and I believe this is a good life lesson. And I shared this with our young adults in Sunday school last week. You're going to hear some things in life, and you got a decision to make on how you're going to respond to what you hear. You can disregard it and say, I'm not going to believe it, and you can act upon just, I'm not going to believe that. Or you can just take it and say, okay, I'm going to act on that. But the best thing to do is just check it out for yourself. Check it out for yourself. Learn to think for yourself. Amen. Check it out. And then when you check it out and you find out it's so, as they did, well, then act upon it. Don't just let that become stale knowledge that you add to other knowledge that you have. Do something about it. That's what the shepherd did, and that's what I want to talk to you about. So in life, we're going to hear things. Some positive, some negative, some believable, some unbelievable. You know, we just need to check it out. They said, you know, they look at verse number 15. They conversed among themselves. The shepherd said, look at this, one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Let's go investigate it. Let's go see if it lines up with what we've heard. And they did, and it did, and then they did something about it. They became men of action. Now, that's what we need to become. We need to become men and women of action. Once we see, once we confirm that God has said it and that it is so, then we need to act upon it. And that's exactly what these men did. There's three things that I want to bring to our attention tonight about these shepherds. I think is just really, it's very simple. Now, I've often wondered, and I've read, you know, God could have chosen really anyone to appear to with this message. What was the message? Well, look at it again, okay? I read it in your hearing, but let's look at it again. In verse 9, the scripture says, the angel of the Lord, he came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. That was the shepherds. Now, they were keeping watch by their flock, over their flock by night. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Now, he said, fear not. You know why he said, fear not? Look, if you would, in the last part of verse number 9, because they were so afraid. Okay, you would have been too. Oh, not me now. Oh, yes, you would have too. Yeah. Yeah, there's an angel of the Lord. If there's a bright shining light from heaven, an angel of the Lord began to address you, and then the heavenly host joined that angel. Yeah, you would have been afraid. That's right. You get afraid when you're at home alone, you hear a noise outside. That's right. So don't you tell me you wouldn't get afraid if there's a bright light in heaven. There was an angel began to speak unto you. Don't fool yourself now. And so the scripture says, he said, fear not. He said, I'm coming with some good news. Look at it, verse number 10. I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. He said, this is something you're going to be able to share with everyone. Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad I don't have to go around looking for people I can share the message of the gospel with. That's right, I can share it with anyone. I don't have to say, I wonder if this will apply to this family or that family or this individual or that individual or someone in this social status or in this financial situation. No, you can share, yes, listen, you share this message with anyone. This message is to all people, he said. Read on with me. He said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Thank God for that. See, that's what this old world needs, brethren. That's right. We don't need an economist. Thank God for them now. But that's not what the general need, the central need of every man, woman, boy, and girl is. It's not an economist. It's not even, listen, it's not even a physical therapist. It's not even a medical doctor. We need someone that can tend to the problem that all of us have. And that's a sin problem. That's a sin problem. We all have a sin problem. And so the good news, it came from heaven this night, many years ago, what we're getting ready to celebrate, and that is the birth of Jesus Christ. And the good news is that he's born for all. Look at it, verse number 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly with the angel, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. One day, brethren, there's going to be peace on this earth. Now, man is clamoring for it now, clamoring for it, and giving up about anything and everything to gain it. But one day, the Prince of Peace is going to come and set up his kingdom on this earth, and there is going to be peace on this earth and goodwill toward men. But we ought to do everything that we can because we have a message of hope and peace to share with people. See, man is at enmity with God. And our message is that you can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be sharing that message. Now, what happened to these men? Why did God choose to share this message with shepherds? Well, I could give you a lot of speculation. The Bible doesn't say. Shepherds were, well, they were kind of a working class people. They were not a white collar people. You know, Jesus really excelled among what Mark called the common people. He did. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that it was the common people, it was the scribes, or not the scribes, but the, the publicans and sinners, they gravitated to Jesus. You see, what we would call, you know, just country folks, like Madisonians. I'm serious. That's the kind of folks that just gravitated. But now, wait a minute. Now, while God chose to give this message to this group of people, these shepherds now. Now listen, I've heard some folks say, well, you know, those shepherds in verse number 8, they were watching over their flock. They were watching over the sheep that were used in the sacrifices for the temple. Well, that's possible. But now there's not enough of biblical evidence to make that a viable statement, really. I mean, so I'm going to say it's possible. But the Bible doesn't say. All right? They were just shepherds. And you know, they were kind of on the low end of the strata as far as the social strata. As far as their social status, it was just, they were just like hardworking men. Usually, when you study the scripture now, it was the youngest one of the family that kind of took up shepherding because the others were part of the army, and so they went into shepherding at a young age. These men were probably young men. I think of David. He was the youngest one. Where were his brothers at? Well, they were fighting for their country. Where was David at? Well, he was gaining experience on the backside of a mountain somewhere as a shepherd boy. But I'm going to tell you, God used his life. He sure did. And so this group of people were just commoners. And I want you to keep that in mind. All right, they were not white collar. They were viewed really as ignorant, unlearned people, kind of like the fishermen were in the disciples of Christ. They were viewed as ignorant and unlearned men. But oh my, they had something that education can't give you, right? They did. Now, don't you leave here saying, well, the preacher's against education. Now, I'm not against education at all. I think education's a good thing. I'm glad I got a little bit of one. You see the way I said I got? That's why I said a little bit of one. These were common men. Jesus, I think God wanted a message to go out that you don't have to be scribes and Pharisees. You know what they were, right? They were high ranking. They were the upper crust. Now you say, well, wait a minute. God doesn't love them, preacher? Well, no, well, wait a minute. I'm not through. This is Luke chapter 2. When you go to Matthew chapter 2, we'll not go there tonight. They were wise men who were very wealthy, obviously, who came a long way because they had heard a message. And they asked the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Right? So God's letting us know, right, listen, just right up front here, Jesus hasn't come for the lower class only or the upper class only. I'm glad that this is news to all people. Isn't that what it says right here? It doesn't matter. You can be wise or unwise. You can have a lot or have a little. And Jesus loves you, and he came to die for your sin. See, you're a sinner whether you have a lot or a little. That's right. Whether you're ignorant and unlearned or educated and very learned, sinner. And we need the message of Christ. And so I want you to notice this first word. I hope you'll write it down. And it is, they went. They went. See, the message that they heard propelled them to go. Look, if you would, in verse number 15. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one unto another, let us now go. Amen. It's time to go. It's time to act upon what we've heard. Let's go check this out. They went. They did something about what they've heard. I'm glad I've done something about what I heard. I'm thankful that God prompted me, that the Spirit of God prompted me to take the message that I heard and said, you know what? You need to act on that. Now, God speaks to people's hearts, and people need to respond and act. They done something about what they heard. Notice again in verse number 15, they heard it, and they didn't just go back. They had a responsibility. I don't want you to miss this, okay? They had a responsibility. In verse number 8, it says they were keeping watch over their flock by night. And they didn't get on, you know, and start trying to get people like David did. I'm not saying they shirked their responsibility, but I'm going to tell you what they did. The message became a priority. Don't miss that. All right? It was a priority. There was no procrastination. Look, if you would, again in verse 15, there's a key word there. Let us now go. You see, we miss a lot of things that God wants to do in our lives because we procrastinate. God says, do it now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. We say, well, you know, I'll do it at a more convenient season. Right? You know, we've all done it. That doesn't make it okay. We miss out when we put God off. When God tells me to do something, I best do it. Right then. Right then. And so I think we can learn that from these shepherds. They became men of action. They did not procrastinate. They made it a priority. Now, what you and I need to learn from these men is when we get a message from heaven, when God speaks to us, we need to act on it now. Now. Don't put it off. Well, I'm going to get to it, preacher. Well, get to it now. When God tells you something, when God tells me something, we need to get with it, brethren. I'm telling you. We're not promised tomorrow. Now, let me give you an example here. God may tell you in the next day or two. You say, God speaks to you. God speaks to all of his children. Now, God will speak to someone who's not his children to bring conviction to their heart. But now, God may tell you to witness to somebody. Don't put that off. God may tell you to share the gospel with somebody. Don't put that off. We've heard the stories. We've even experienced it in our own lives when God has told us to go to someone and we didn't do it. We never got another opportunity or something tragic happened and we live to regret the decision that we made not to do it now. They said, let us go now. They went, right? They didn't just lag around and they didn't have a business meeting. They didn't call a committee meeting and say, well, now guys, what do you think? No, they look again at verse number 15. The scripture says it came to pass that as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let's go. Let's go. They went, right? Let's go. Let's do this. Let's go investigate this. This is a priority. Even don't you think these men were slackers now? If you'll notice again, there's a careful wording in verse number 8. It says they were keeping watch over their flock by night. These men took their responsibility very seriously, but they took the message from heaven more serious. Now I want to ask you a question before I move to the next point. What do you take more serious than the message from heaven? If you're procrastinating, if you're putting it off, there's something hindering you, and I don't want that to happen in my life, and I don't believe you want that to happen in your life. Be careful. Be careful. When God speaks, act on it. Don't miss out. All right? It was not the shepherds who got there two years late. All right? Because if you'll read down in verse number 16, it says they came with what? Haste. They took it serious. They came with haste. And the scripture says when they got there, they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, not the young child and his mother in the house. So well, they didn't have as far to travel. Well, sometimes distance is not the problem. It's the decision of the heart. And so I want to lay on your heart tonight now. When God speaks to you, move on that. Move on what God tells you to do. If God tells me to do it, it's going to be all right. All right? Amen. God tells me not to do it. I don't need to do it. I just need to obey what God says. So the first thing, they went. Now the second thing that followed that always follows action. I want you to listen carefully. When we go and we obey and we put ourselves in the presence of Christ, I want you to look at verse number 16. It says they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. They found what they were told they were going to find. So they investigated and they saw it is so. It is so. When we begin to investigate, God will let us know if it's so. And when it is so, we need to act upon it. I want to say something about this babe right here, and I want you to listen carefully. Most of the world will celebrate baby Jesus. All right? Jesus is not a baby anymore. Jesus is not in a cradle anymore. Jesus is not even on a cross anymore. Jesus is on a throne. All right? But I want to say something about this baby. This baby that they saw, that they were in the presence of, was just as much God as Jesus is today. You listening to me? You say, how can that be? Jesus is God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, listen, when they got in the presence here, they were just as much in the presence of God as the disciples were when they were walking with Jesus in His public earthly ministry. Amen. Jesus did not become more God as He grew older. He became more developed in His manhood. But as far as God, the seed of God, the Holy Ghost, listen, Jesus was God. He is God today. And so when they got in the presence of God, it done something to them. Can I tell you, when you get in the presence of God, it'll do something to you too. It'll do something to me. It changed them, brethren. It changed them. The Bible says in verse number 17, after they seen this, they said, when they had seen this, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They told people, this is what happened to us. We had this angel to come and appear before us, and then this heavenly host, and it said all these things, and we went and investigated, and it was so, just like they said. It was a life-changing. I remember a day in my life when I began to connect the dots. Perhaps you remember it too. If you're saved, you do. You begin to connect the dots of things that you had heard through your life, and as people witnessed to you, and the Spirit of God enlightened your mind, and you knew it is so. Amen. And God turned the light on in your soul, and you saw, I'm a sinner. And you were broken, and you felt without hope, and then somebody shared with you again that Jesus was the answer and that He would forgive you of your sin. And when you trusted Him, you knew it's so. It is so. What they said is so. If I will trust Christ, I can be saved and my sin will be forgiven. And you experienced salvation. These men experienced something. So how do you know? Well, I want you to notice what happened. So when they went, the next thing they did is they worshiped. They got in the presence of God. I want you to write that word down. They went. So you need to respond to what God tells you to do. And when you do, obedience always leads to worship. Listen to me now, brethren. There's not a whole lot of worshiping going on. I think some folks get worship mixed up. Some folks get worship and emotion mixed up. Now, worship can be and stem from emotion. It can use emotion. I don't need loud music to worship. I don't need loud preaching to worship. You say, well, you're preaching a little loud now. I'm just a little passionate about what I'm saying to you, but we don't need loud preaching to worship. Amen. You can get along with God, just you and God in a room, and you can worship. You can worship God. That's what these men did. If you'll look at verse number 20, the Bible says this, when the shepherds returned, they were glorifying and praising God. Just glorifying and praising God. When's the last time you got in a room, or you got in your car, or you was with someone, or whether you were by yourself, and you were doing that? You were glorifying and praising God. See, they were obedient. They investigated it. They checked it out. They did what they were told, and they, when they found it was so, they got in the presence of Jesus. Though He was a baby, they were in the presence of God. And when they got in the presence of God, it welled up in their heart, and they just began to praise God and glorify God. When's the last time you've done that? You ought to do that every day. Doesn't have to be the same experience every day, but we ought to glorify and praise God every day. And if we're not, it could be because we're not men of action. Because we're not men and women of obedience. And I'm not indicting anyone. I'm just saying, I'm trying to help somebody here tonight to understand that when they went, it led to worship. Worship is good for us. It's needful. See, a lot of people say, well, you know, what kind of God wants you to worship Him? A God who wants to help you. Worship helps you, not Him. If you don't worship God, He's still God. Amen. The plain facts are, listen, we're the ones who get the help from worshiping Him. Amen. It helps me to worship God. I need to worship God. I need to glorify and praise God. That's what these men did. You see that in verse 20? Look at it again. They went. They worshiped. The scripture says, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They investigated what was told to them. They were men of action. They were men of obedience. They got in the presence of God in the Christ child, and they worshiped God. When you get in the presence of God, worship Him. Say, preacher, I don't know how to worship. Worship comes from the word worth-ship. When you place a great value, a worth, that's where the word worship comes from. The reason that a lot of folks are not excited about the things of God is not worth much to them. But when these shepherds, it dawned on them, this is it. This is the Christ child. This is the Savior of the world. They realized what Jesus was and who He was, and He became of great worth to them because of the condition of their heart, just like you and I. But when we become mundane and we lose our passion and we take for granted, and almost like, well, God owes me that. The church owes me this. The preacher, my family owes me this. Life owes me this. Nothing or no one owes you anything. And God certainly doesn't owe us anything. It's only by the good favor and grace of God that we are what we are. And when we fall before Him and praise Him, God will begin to minister to us, and worship will begin to spring from our hearts and our minds and through our lips. And we'll begin, the fruit of our lips will become praise unto God. And so the second word is worship. And then let me give you a third word and I'll be done tonight, okay? So they went. So I want to tell you, go to Him. Go to Him. Okay? Go to Him. Spend some time with Him. So what I keep hearing from teachers and preachers and from other Christians, that I need to spend time with God in His Word, and I need to spend time with God in prayer. I need to spend time with God in His house. And I keep hearing that. Well, investigate it. Go to Him. Get in His presence. It will lead you to worship. You will see some things about God that will grow in your heart and help you to see His worth, and it will lead to worship. And as you begin to praise God, and as you begin, and I began, as we begin to worship Him, we will be the better for it. And then the third thing, the third word that I'd like for you to write down is witness. Amen. See, there's really just not too many people that would have listened to shepherds in this day about theology. But they had a message that was so powerful. And they shared it with such passion. Now, don't you miss this. This is what's missing in our churches today. The message has not changed. The passion in which we tell it has. And it shows. I can just read the passion in verse 17. Verse 18 says, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." It was convincing. See, they experienced something. It was real to them. You understand what's happening here? They wasn't saying something that they had just heard. Read the scripture. They saw it. They experienced it. They investigated it. They got in on it. See, when we just borrow something we've heard someone say and we haven't experienced it, it's not real to us. We're just kind of transferring information. And there's not a whole lot of passion in that. But when we've experienced it, when we've been in His presence, when we've communed with Him, when we've walked with Him and talked with Him, and He's told us, "You are my own," it's different. Right, brethren? You know what I'm saying? It's different. And that's why it's important to be men and women of action. They went. They worshiped. They worshiped. And then they witnessed. See, a lot of times we just go straight to the witnessing because, well, you know, the preacher said I ought to witness. Let me give me some gospel tracts, right? Let me give me some gospel tracts and go out here and pass out some gospel. Thank God for that. Thank God for distributing the gospel tracts and thank God for witnessing to people. But listen to me. The witnessing don't come first. That's not what's first. They went. They worshiped. And then they became an effective witness. And that's the way we can become an effective witness. And so these are three things from the shepherd's life that I think would really help us. Now, you say, "Well, preacher, I'm struggling a little bit." I want you to turn to Revelation. I'll close with this verse of Scripture. Revelation chapter number 12. You say, "I'm struggling a little bit." I want to run that by you one more time. They went. Let's be people of action, okay? Don't just hear stuff. Don't just hear stuff and say, "Well, it sounds good. You know, but I'll get around to trying it someday. I'll get around to doing that, what the teacher said or the preacher said. I'll get around to it one day. When I get my schedule worked out, or when things come together for me, then I'm gonna become a man or a woman of action." Now, you go now, and you do it with haste. You place a priority on it. It'll bless you now. It'll bless you. Number two, worship. Worship. Praise God. Ascribe praise and worth to Him. Tell Him how much He means to you. Exalt His name. Amen. And then begin to witness. You see Revelation chapter 12? Look at verse 11. Say, "I tell you, this old devil, preacher, he's getting the best of me. We're in a fight, brethren." I'm telling you now, we are in a fight. You don't serve God without being in a fight. You say, "Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this sword right here, and I'm going to win the fight." Well, that's what the Bible says. But now there's something else you need to take with you. Don't forget it. Look at Revelation 12, verse number 11. "By the word of God," that's how you're going to defeat the devil, the enemy. What else does it say? Their testimony. Is that Revelation 12, 11? Somebody give me a confirmation on that. Their testimony. You tell them you've been with Jesus. You go check it out. Amen? You worship Him. And that testimony is going to be strong. Listen to me. It's going to be strong. Thank God for the Word. But when you get in the Word, the testimony that you've been in this book is going to be convincing. Convincing. And that's the way we live the victorious Christian life. And that's how we make an impact on those around us. I'd ask you to stand to your feet. I just want to help you now. So don't you take this, "Well, the preacher, he fussing at us." I'm not fussing at you. Who am I to fuss at you? I need this. You do understand that, right? You say, "Well, the preacher sounds like he might have this thing conquered." I don't have anything conquered. Now, I am more than a conqueror through Christ. That's right. I need God to help me every day to investigate. I want to be a man of action. They went. And then I want to be a worshiper. See, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. What? True worshipers, brethren. John 4, true worshipers in spirit and in truth. Not just talk about it. I want to be a man of action. I want to do it. I want to worship. And then a witness. You see, when you follow that line, it's going to be convincing. They wondered, the Bible says. Right? All that heard them wondered. Like, wow. Look that word wondered up. It means with awe and amazement. Like, wow. Man, these lowly shepherds, they're convincing. Something happened. Right? Yeah. And that's what will happen when you and I follow this pattern. Let's bow our heads together.